The Owl Mother watches over us from the realms beyond, beyond the infinite cold and the unending black. The Lord of the Wood protects us from those godless creatures that lurk in the spaces between, that we may continue our sacred work. The Black Goat with a thousand young prays her abundance, bids us to multiply, bids us to infest. We fly at her beckoning on gossamer wings across the endless night to worlds too numerous to count, and there we find them. The unwitting, the uninitiated, the ignorant. They worship their false gods and they live their false lives, and the Black Goat looms behind them, growing, always growing. And she waits for us. She waits for us, most sacred friends, to dig the holes, to cut through the membranes with surgeon's grace and pious eyes. Go forth, all you faithful, and bring them to their screaming ends. Show them our glorious mother, the mother of all, that they may submit, as all life must do, and take on the sacred charge to feed her endless young. And together, we shall infest all. Together, we shall subsume all. Together, we shall bring her all. In the glorious name of Shub-Niggurath.
This is Pod Against the Machine.
Against the Machine.
Welcome back to Pod Against the Machine, the only Pathfinder actual play that pretends to be poison when really it's a disease. I'm your host, and here's everybody.
Hi.
I was actually voted most likely to be a disease, though pretending to be poison in high school, so yeah. Happy to be here.
You made it.
The classic Maine yearbook.
Classic Maine superlative.
Let's see. Previously on the program, our heroes, complete with their new buddy hero, Hersek, continued into the woods a little bit, doubling back to head towards the Migo headquarters when they decided it was probably a bad idea to hide the fact that Asuma was with them forever or indefinitely. So they engineered a bit of a ruse, pretended that they were just meeting Asuma, discovered a language barrier that existed between Asuma, who only speaks Androfin, and Hersek, who does not speak Androfin. Only seems to speak broken French, really. But they established a little bit of an alliance between everyone. Nervous though all parties may have been, they decided to travel together for mutual benefit, because what's the point of having five adventurers when you can have six, or six and an animal companion? No big whoop.
And all those GM NPCs, more Sam for your yam.
More Sam for your yam.
Oh my god, I have so many turns. Please kill off some of these NPCs so I don't have to play so many turns. Maybe next time I'll be prepared and actually like pass over a character sheet for one of these so one of you can do it.
Oh. Nope. Which will help when, you know, another one of my PCs dies and I'm like, you know what? I kind of like this Hersek guy. Maybe I just like flirting with Zach. Who knows? Anyway, I'm him now.
I mean,
it happened.
You get that sheet to me, he is going to try to wrestle that mouther. Like, just drop his sword and run at it so that we don't have to fight him later.
So after that, the party crossed the river, went up to the north side of the valley, and found the cave where they believe the Migo are hiding, which was, of course, encrusted with mold and brambles and stinky, smelly vegetation, some of which sprung to life and tried to kill everybody. But the party, large as it is these days, managed to make fairly quick work of the shambling mounds and climbed their way into the cave where it was not poisonous. It was disease-ridden, which got Brixby coughing pretty good.
One he sickened is brutal.
And Hersek got a little bit under the weather. Brixby's filth fever was cured, of course. And then the party climbed up a gloppy wall and listened for any sort of signs of life. Tarazi heard voices to the left, so everyone went left, which brought us to the next room where there's one big old thing just plopped in the middle of the floor with a whole bunch of voices just yammering away. And that's where we are now.
Can't wait for you to do all those voices.
Yeah.
Talk about more Sam for my yam. TM.
A little bit about this particular room. The tunnel widens at this juncture, and the ceiling climbs to 20 feet. A few bones, red with traces of gore, are scattered on the lichen-encrusted floor around this formless mass of flesh that forms a pile almost 10 feet wide and looming over the snakes as they enter this space. It seems decidedly hostile. I think we can jump right to rolling for initiative. Let's start with Tarazi.
Say 13 for you. 16.
How about the fabulous Alowyn once more?
That is a 14 for a 21.
Kira?
11 for a 17.
And not as fast this time as last. How about Brixby?
Surprisingly, a 25.
All right, so we didn't waste all of the good initiative rolls on the first combat. Will this be the last combat? Who knows, as we begin with Brixby up first, top of round one.
So Brixby will move, in fact, 20 feet. Look at that.
Those dry spots off on the side there, those are 15 feet up above the ground.
Oh, all right, so... Beep. Where I came from right here? Is that where I came from? Or was I behind you?
I think you were behind Kira.
Okay. Oh, tight. So I'm going to just move out to this outcropping, like right here. So for folks at home, I am on a 15-foot ledge. And I'm going to get one step closer to the edge. And I'm about to scorching ray this thing. I think. But I'm going to do a knowledge first. What sort of knowledge would I roll?
This would be, I believe, knowledge dungeoneering.
Roll 20 has been real chaotic tonight. Yeah, it has. Nice. All right, that's a 19 for a 32.
Well, with a 32, you recognize that this creature is, in fact, a gibbering mouther. A disgusting, loathsome, hungry beast. It's a foul creature that lurks in underground caves, sewers, and nightmares. Mouthers have no societal, ecological, or religious significance other than their ability to really mess with your head. Some scholars believe that gibbering mouthers are a lesser variant of a much more dangerous creature, while others theorize that they are punishment from some powerful being or deity inflicting on something that offended it. This particular gibbering mouther is much bigger than you would expect a gibbering mouther to be, which is cool. With a 32, you get all manner of questions on the noble gibbering mouther. Let's call it three questions.
Part of me wants to be like, why is he so big? Why is he a biggering mouther? It's not working. All right, we need some questions here, people. Defenses?
Defense is definitely a big one.
Abilities. Okay, let's start with defenses and abilities.
Well, as far as defenses go, it has DR. It's immune to critical hits and precision damage. And it is amorphous.
Sucky.
Yeah, just
for me.
Normal stuff. Special abilities include all-around vision, so it cannot be flanked. The amorphous condition means that its body is malleable and shapeless, so it's immune to sneak attacks and critical hits, and can squeeze through tiny areas like some kind of snake with no bones.
Don't love that. All right. So would it be more helpful for folks to know attacks or what overcomes DR? Because this is why I held on to my question, because I wanted to know if the swingy dingies of the group wanted to know what overcame DR or if we care more about attacks.
I feel like I'm probably going to be using my chainsaw regardless, but I'm sure other people are more strategic and would care about its overcoming DR.
Yeah, I'm in agreement that DR isn't gonna be a huge factor.
You know what overcomes DR, Sam? Even more damage. Tell us about the attacks.
Well, you see a lot of mouths. Those are like its normal primary way of attacking. It also, if it gets a mouth on you, it can eat you.
Eat?
With a, it's like swallow hole, but it's more called engulf, which is, you know, pretty dangerous. It can also spit, acidic spit, which is fun too.
Gross.
All right. Brixby conveys these things in a efficient and 6-second way, in his best auctioneer voice. Do I hear acidic spit? Acidic spit. And then this thing cannot be sneak attacked, so I'm super useful. But I didn't hear that it was immune to mind affecting, which I know is normally my friend's bag. So Brixby, looking at this thing, it kind of evokes the darkness that surrounds the stars and the space in the cave, and kind of the darkness in himself and the darkness that the creature in Scrap Wall touched in his head. And he kind of reaches out through his void element and casts a spell he hasn't cast very often, but has cast before. Sprinkles a little flash powder, and I'm going to need a will save from the mouthy gibberer.
That is a 22.
Oof, you do beat it. So I believe it is save or suck as the wandering star motes go off. Yes, you're good. So that is my turn.
All right, that will bring us to Hersic Kayo. He is way in the back here. So he's going to go 10, 20, 25, 30, and he can just barely get out into the room with one set of move actions. I don't think he loves what he sees, but he's going to move a little bit farther just to sort of protect his new friend, the Rat Man, because he's buddies. And that'll be the end of his turn with a double move. Which brings us to the Gibbering Mouther. Now, the Gibbering Mouther, to start its turn, it's going to just take a free action to emit a cacophony of maddening sound. So everyone within 60 feet must succeed at a will save. That includes everyone but Asuma, I believe. So let's just go in initiative order to keep things simple. So Brixby first.
With my sickened condition, I roll a big 4 for a 12.
So Brixby is confused for one round.
Oh no. Oh no.
Hersic passes his save. How about the fabulous Alowyn?
23.
Alowyn is good. How about... Oh, Asuma is... I don't ask Asuma. I roll for Asuma. She's good. How about the inscrutable Kira?
Is a 15 good?
15 passes exactly.
Oh, thank God.
I'm the only one.
How about Tarazi?
Well, Tarazi is okay with a dirty 20. Levi, on the other hand, rolled an 8.
Oof. All right. Well, now that we have that out of the way, it is going to just spit some quick acid spittle. I think it's going to go for Hersic because, yeah, why not? Yes, it does hit him. Oh, he has to make a fortitude save. It doesn't do damage. That's worse. That's much worse.
Oh, no.
And he fails.
Oh, no.
So that gets in his eyes. And Hersic is struggling with blindness right now for 4 rounds. So that sucks for him being standing right there. And the gibbering mouther, let's see, it can reach both Tarazi and Hersic. So it's gonna do some bites on both of them. So let's just start with 3 bites on Tarazi. Why not, right? How is a 28 versus flat-footed?
Oh, you son of a gun. Because he's flat-footed, that hits.
So that is 7 bite damage and a free attempt to grab. 24 to grab.
Nah.
All right. Well, it's going to try to bite again. That is a 26 to bite.
Nope.
And one last bite that will miss. So now it's going to bite Hersic, who is blind and thus flat-footed. So that first one's going to hit and is going to take 12 damage. I'm going to confuse myself really fast here. On the bad roll on the grapple. He's going to go for one more bite on Hersic, another hit. That is 12 more damage. Attempt to grapple. No, Hersic's CMD is incredible. And then it's going to go for, just one more bite on Hersic. It's got him a third time. Only 8 damage that time.
You know, I was joking when I said I wanted him to fight this thing and die to it before anybody else went, right?
And it fails to grapple him. So no grapples, but it did bite him 3 times. He's having a little bit of trouble. And that takes us to the fabulous Alowyn.
So he is going to move up 25 feet, which is not enough to see this thing yet, but it is enough to see all of his allies, upon which he is going to cast haste again. And that will be his turn.
All right. Well, Asuma is going to go. Yeah, she's going to jog up behind Alowyn. Yeah, she's got just enough to get into the room and stop in the doorway on a double move. Which brings us to Kira.
Yay. Kira also can't see this thing, so she's going to move up.
But the dry parts are 15 feet up.
Yeah.
Oh, you right, okay.
Well, you can go through Snaky Square.
Okay, I'll do that. Oops, oops.
Oh, can you? Because he is confused.
Yeah, so I did find a confused creature cannot tell the difference between ally and foe, treating all creatures as enemies. So it won't take an AOO, but I wouldn't think they count as friendly for the purposes of movement.
Good find.
So Kira would have to actually have rolled an acrobatics check either to get through Brixby Square or Levi Square. I would probably recommend Brixby Square.
All right, Brixby Square it is. Acrobatics. Do I have that even? Oh, God. Yikes. All right, we'll see. That's an 11.
Oh, yeah. That does not beat a 23, unfortunately.
Okay, so right. You're actually still trapped behind Snaky Party.
Oh, no. You're in the confused zone.
That's the traffic jam. Jams.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Snake Squad, then. I'm going to roll the confusion first for a big snake. It's a 77. attacks nearest creature.
Well, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 creatures around you, so...
Okay. Clockwise, starting with Brixby. 1, 2, Tarazi, 3. Hirsik, 4. Hoping for a 4.
Hirsik is going to die in this fight.
It's a 2. Are you raging? Because Blur might help if the snake tries to hit you.
Yeah, I'm raging.
Stoked.
Never don't rage.
Well, I'm probably going to need to roll that then, because that is, I'm pretty sure, 25. That is a 5, so it misses the Blur.
Nice.
Nice.
Hooray. Tarazi then will step boldly towards the mouth there with a 5-foot step and unleash 4 null blade strikes. So 24...
24 hits.
Stoked. At a 24, a 25, complete trash. And then... So I have a critical threat. It's immune to the critical damage, but not the critical effects, if I confirm it.
Well, it's immune to critical hits. What kind of critical effect are we talking?
The only thing that doesn't apply is the actual double, you know, like the doubling or tripling of damage. But if it has an effect, like from a feat, that I'm going to see if I confirm it first. And with a 26, I would. So what I get to do with a confirmed crit, finally, the only times I've confirmed a crit, I've killed something. But because of the bashing finish feat, when I score a crit with a melee weapon, I can make a shield bash against the same target using the same bonus as a free action.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I rolled a nat 20 on the shield bash. Can I loop this forever?
Yes. I don't think so. I think it's just the one per round.
Says whenever, and it's a free action.
I don't know.
What's the worst that could happen?
But we can rule it once for now.
I think you can only do it once per regular attack, not per... It's not recursive, is what I'm going to rule.
All right. All right, GM. So we've got two null blade hits and 1 shield bash. So we're looking at 24 on the first null blade hit, 24 on the second, 17 on the shield bash. And did I mention with shield slam, anything I hit with a shield bash is also gets a, I get a free bull rush.
All right. Attempt to bull rush this gibbering mouther if you'd like.
Please. Yeah, tell me you have a feat that does something if this is a successful bull rush.
Automatic crit.
Oh, it was only a 5 off the dice. So only a 21 against its CMD.
No, that's not going to do it for the giant pile of flesh and mouth.
Yeah, I figured. But that was still fun. So, end of turn.
All right. Well, at the end of the snake squad's turn, a strange pink being comes flying down off of one of the ledges at the back of the room past the gibbering mouther and flies into Tarazi's face. It has these little clawsy doos and it's gonna just try to claw him real quick. That is a 31 to claw.
Okay, so yes, I'm upset. My hasted AC is 30.
That is 6 damage and a free attempt to grab.
Gross.
30 on the grapple?
Nope.
All right, so you are not grappled by this weird pink thing that is flashing its head at you in weird colors. And that brings us to the confused escapist Brixby.
All right, that's a 74. I attack a nearest creature probably, right?
74 is hurting yourself. Oh. It starts at 76 to attack nearest creature.
I hurt myself today. See? I still feel 4 points of damage. Ow. But it brings me back to, like, reality, right?
Yeah, back to life, back to reality.
Oh, I was going to say that one.
Love that song. And I can't really do anything else, so however do you want it, however do you need it, Sam.
All right, Hersek, I think under the circumstances is... He's going to try to scramble backwards, which will provoke from the gibbering mouther because he doesn't really know what he's doing, but it does whiff. And he's just kind of feeling along the wall, scrambling back until he can find an open space.
It's like a little less hot.
It'll be fine soon. It's just I can't see anything right now. There's something in my eyes. I'll be right back. Don't you worry. I just need to find my Visine. And that brings us to the gibbering mouther, who is, of course, going to gibber. We're going back to the top for will saves.
Oh, no.
How's it going this time, Brixby?
Oh, no. Really hate being sickened here. I cannot roll a save to save my life. I swear, knowledge check that I don't need, 19 minimum, like probably a 20. But will save against Phantasmal Killer or like anything else, absolutely cannot roll above a 5. Tirade over, that was a 3 for an 11.
So Brixby is confused again.
Re-confused.
Hersek is not sickened. And how about Alowyn?
Alowyn got 1 lower than last time for a 22.
All right, Alowyn's good. And Asuma. Oh, that's going to be a tweener. What's her will save? Oh, she's fine. And Kira.
28.
Okay, Kira's good. Tarazi.
I do not remember the DC. 17?
You're all right. How about Levi?
Tarazi is Levi again in the single digis. becomes
my boy.
Had a brief moment of lucidity and then gets confused again.
Well, that weird little pink fella that appeared suddenly seems a bit confused as well. So you got that going for you. And then the gibbering mouther is gonna... Well, is it smart? Does it have a functioning mind? That's what I want to know. Kind of. I think it's gonna slorp its way. Just a 5-foot slorp forward here. Which is not flanking, but it's just gonna try to bite the crap out of Tarazi pointlessly. Because it doesn't know that it can't get him. That is going to miss. Number 2 is a miss. Number 3 is, how about a 29?
That will not hit. Looking at AC 31, thanks to that sweet haste.
Number 4 is a miss. Number 5 is a miss. But number 6 is a miss.
Well, it tried.
Now, after the gibbering mouther goes, another one of these pink little buddies is going to appear from directly above Kira, and as it swoops down, it is going to go for the claw. How does a 21 to hit sound?
21 sounds like I need to check. Ah, yeah, 21 will do it while she's raging.
All right, 33 on the blur.
Okay.
Only 4 damage.
4 damage.
30 on the grapple.
I have a 30. So I think that means you win.
Meets beats.
Yeah.
All right. So as you're grappled by this Migo, It does have some extra little spiky dudes that stab into you for 7 additional damage. And you do need to make a fortitude save, as it appears to basically be doing surgery on you as it stabs you.
Ew. Fort save, that's a 7 on the die for a 25.
All right, you're fine. It's just a little surgery between friends. That'll end its turn, and the fabulous Alowyn is up.
Okay, the fabulous Alowyn just saw this horrifying fungus bug monster appear and start doing surgery on one of his friends. So he is going to hit it with a bone shatter. So make me a fortitude save.
Now, does it really have bones?
It has an exoskeleton, which is in the text of the spell.
Does it when it's plant-based?
I mean, that looks like an exoskeleton in those pictures. I guess technically it's up to the GM, but I'd say it's...
I think it...
They're described as insectile quite a bit.
Yeah, it's got a coherent enough form that it... I would say it counts as having an exoskeleton. That is only a 17 on the fortitude save.
Oh, this is the first time someone has failed this spell.
Is it exhausted?
So that means that is going to be the full damage. So that is 1d6 per. So that is 10d6 damage. Oh, God. And it is going to be exhausted for 10 minutes. So I don't have that many d6, so I'm just going to do this. 34 points of damage, and it is exhausted for 10 minutes.
All right. That's fun for it.
Oh, and before I end my turn, I would like to roll whatever knowledge I need for these guys.
That would be knowledge nature. I will accept lore dark tapestry if you would like.
Yep, that is 2 higher than my nature, so I'm going to go with 1. That is only a 5 on the die, though, so that is only a 13, which probably isn't enough to get much, if anything.
No, that won't identify the tired pink friend.
I figured at this level, a 13 ain't gonna cut it, so that will be his turn.
All right, that will bring us to the deep Asuma, who is gonna take a 5-foot step back to get herself an angle, and then she is gonna level her rifle at the, what's it called? The pinky friend there, and she's going to take her 3 shots. First shot hits. All right. 13 damage. Second shot also hits. 15 damage. It's looking almost dead. Can she get it with the last shot? She can indeed. Asuma has finished off the exhausted bug monster. It's dead and tired. It's dead tired is what I was trying to say. Now another one of these creatures comes off of the southern ledge, appearing in initiative. Right after that, it's going to fly around the back of the mouther up to... it's going to fly around up to the big snake here because it doesn't know better. And it's just going to try to claw the big snake. And it's going to miss the big snake. But it has drawn Levi's ire, because it doesn't know he's confused.
Hooray.
All right, Kira. A bug just grabbed you and then got murdered.
Yeah.
So you got dead weird bug plant on you.
Dead weird bug plant. But also everyone in front of me is still confused, so... Indeed. I don't even know if it's possible to... I don't think it is. You said a 23 DC for that? I don't think I can have a roll a high enough acrobatics. I cannot.
Couldn't you, like, hasted go up here and then just, on down? Yeah, like, it will take some of your movement. Sorry.
All right, I will try a climb. That's a 15?
DC 15 to climb the wall. What's your move speed right now?
Haste means I get an extra round of movement, so 60?
Well, haste means you get an extra 30 feet, so...
Oh, so 60 or 70. I can do math.
So 15 feet, so in a single move action can climb you to the top of the of that wall.
Okay. Single move action, contaminate the top of the wall.
Which reveals that there's one last pinky dude up there.
Aw, man. So I'll stop in front of him then and hit it. Oh, will I hit it? That is a 31.
A 31 will indeed hit the little pinky dude.
Enough to hit Tarazi.
Oh, I can hit Tarazi. Nice. 12, 16, 22, math, 22 plus 16, 38 points of chainsaw damage.
That's so many on the small one of whatever these are.
Well, I really need to get down to that mouthing guy.
Well, before you can do that, the smart Tarazi and his confused snake buddy are up.
Yeah, so confused snake buddy is going to attack back right at the bug that attacked it.
But it's so resolute.
Ooh, we're looking at a 29.
That will hit.
So it's 15 and an attempt to grab it. But hot trash, only a 25.
25 is enough to grab this little guy.
Oh, okay. Then it's going to take a small amount of constrict damage. Max, 13.
All right, the resolute one of these guys doesn't like that.
I'm fine with that. And then, yeah, Tarazi will ignore this little pest and continue to attack the Mouther. So we are looking at a 3 hits, one of which is potentially a crit, which only matters for the free extra hit.
All right, why don't you do...
And yeah, that's confirmed. Ooh. And this time I'm going to remember that it's an aberration and I get a +2 on all of my damage rolls.
Well, why don't you do them in order, because you might kill this thing.
Okay. Ooh, which could matter, because the crit was the second attack. If I killed on the first one, then I could actually crit the bug.
It's possible. It is within the realm of possibility.
Ugh, minimum 15.
It's still up.
15 again.
Oh, that will be the end of the gibbering mouther, giant though it may be.
Would a 24 have hit the bug thing?
24 does hit the bug thing.
Okay, so at least I got a hit on it. Ooh, 21.
21 damage on the eloquent bug thing?
Yes.
I suppose we don't need to dance around the fact because Brixby already identified these as Miko a couple episodes back.
Well, that'll do it. The eloquent Miko is hit with the null blade.
Well, the eloquent Miko is not very happy about that. And it's going to take 4 claw attacks on Tarazi.
Come at me, bro.
25 won't nope. Do it. 27 also won't do it.
Nope.
18 definitely won't do it. And 16 won't do it.
Yikes.
That was fun.
Well, the small Migo is gonna try to take 4 claws at Kira and try its luck.
Yeah, so, come at me, bro.
How does a 29 sound?
It's immediately better. It came at me.
I rolled a 1 on the D100. So
for blur?
Never. Yeah, for the blur. So that's a miss. Bummer. 001. How about a 16?
16 will not do it.
14.
Also no.
And a 12.
Haha, so many attacks and so few of them connect.
These things suck so bad.
I must feel bad fighting these guys. Like, the Mouther was scary, but these guys are just kind of pathetic.
All right. Top of round three. It is the escapist Brixby's turn. You are still confused.
That I am. And let's see, that's a 96. Isn't that attack nearest creature?
Sure is.
All right, so I've got four choices this time.
Hey, one of them's right. A bad guy.
Yep. All right, so starting with Asuma, Alowin is 2, Levi is 3, and Batty is 4. Come on, give me like one roll that is good, please. Yeah, it's the Batty.
Hey.
So I'm gonna try to hit them with my tail blade while sickened. That's a nat 20.
Nice.
Nice roll to confirm.
Unfortunately, it does not confirm of an 11, I assume.
Yeah, it does not.
Alrighty, so let's just take a little peek at what that looks like with my sickened. Oh, 1d2
minus 3. 1d2
minus
3.
So you want to just take 1 point of damage?
Yeah, that sounds like one damage.
Yeah.
Chipping away.
Oh, man. Melee. So yeah, I'm still confused, so I can't do anything else. So that's my turn.
All right. On the plus side, no longer confused at the end of your turn. Hersik is going to hold as he's still wiping crap out of his eyes. And Alowin.
Can Alowin see the one at the top that Kira's fighting or no? Because she couldn't see it till she got up there, correct?
Right. I don't think you have line of sight on it. These things are kind of like ambush ledges, basically.
Yeah. So I have line of sight on this guy and this guy. You know what? I feel like the one in front of Bricks is going to be more of an issue because Tarazi's basically untouchable. So I am going to use my last bone shatter of the day on let's see, what is your honorific over here, buddy? You are the Resolute Migo.
Pretty good roll. How about a 28?
That is a pass, so he is only fatigued instead of exhausted, and he will take half of, let's do them all at once, because I remembered I can do that now, so 16 points of damage.
All right, the Resolute Migo doesn't love that, and there is Asuma. She's going to kind of step into traffic here to be able to see anything and see if she can take a couple shots here. I think with all the cover she's shooting through, that might be Asuma's first miss there, but she does roll a natural 20 shooting at the Resolute Migo in the second time around, and she does confirm. So this is going to be 35 damage, which is the end of the Resolute Migo. And she'll turn and take a shot at the Eloquent Migo with her last shot. And she will hit. Ooh, max damage, 24 damage. And Kira, you're up on top of the ledge.
All right. Well, you don't have to move, so I guess I'll just try and kill this thing. Ooh. Not good. That's a 3 on the die for the first roll, which I think is a 24. Is a 24 hit?
Yep.
Okay, 24. Much better that time. That's over 24. If a 24 hits, then that hits. 18 on the third one.
18 won't hit.
Yeah, and then 21 on the fourth one.
That hits.
Great, 3 hits. Roll 9, yeah, 9d6. Oh, such a satisfying sound. And that's so many ones. 27 plus 22 is 49. 27 plus 22, yes, 49 points of damage.
Plus dead on the small me go.
So I'll hang out here then, just in case. It's a nice vantage point.
All right. Unconfused Snake Squad.
Hooray! Levi is going to go first now in hopes that we can grab this crazy bug. It's a 23.
23 hits.
And 24. And a miss. But I'll roll the two hits. Uh, 18 and 16.
That's enough to finish it off.
So, okay.
No grabbing needed. So we are out of combat, and you have a dead gibbering mouther and a four dead Migo on the ground here.
Where's the loot?
I think that pink thing tried to surgery me.
Well, I'm glad they were unsuccessful. That, mouthy fella got my bonsall barmy.
Still acknowledging that I'm sickened and passively vomiting slightly.
That was deeply, deeply unpleasant for, me, personally. Once again, I must implore any of you, if you are able to share some healing. I was hurt quite badly by the horrible biting thing.
How many of us got hurt in that, total number of people got hit?
I hit myself for two. That's a correction from the four that I said earlier, so I'm down two.
Kira took a couple points of damage. Nothing crazy. Yeah.
Kira got hit a little bit. Yeah.
Even Terezi got hit once.
What?
Not for much.
I wonder if it's worth justifying hitting you guys with a Cure Light Mass. That doesn't do a super lot.
Yeah.
But it does everybody at once. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to hit everybody with a Cure Light Mass. 5, so everybody gets 15 back.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shalowin. That is quite helpful. If you have any more, I would not object. Just saying.
Don't get greedy, guy.
That is a very high-level spell. I'd hate to use another one when most everybody else is back to close to full.
I love that.
Just healing him individually is off the table.
You're like, yikes. That sounds like a difficult problem for you. I would prefer not to.
No, if you do not have it to spare, I understand. It's just, you know, this is a very dangerous place. And I am, you know, I like to be in the front. I like to take the brunt of the danger, but that can be, it can have its prices.
It's a natural 20 to climb back down for Kira, so I think she does a nice flip.
Yeah, just like lands like 3-point cliff.
Yeah. Superhero guy. I'm still not down there. I'll stand on your corpse.
I was going
to
have Levi let you slide down Levi like a giraffe.
Aww.
But
that'd be
but that
cute
works too.
Or like Fred,
like Fred
at, leaving
yes,
work.
At the,
yeah.
So, we should probably keep our eyes up. Do one of you want to fly? Not like in a metaphorical sense, and it's not like drugs this time. But I think maybe if our enemy's airborne, perhaps one of you should be.
Is he's talking to everyone?
Mostly talking to the other players, because, you know, Asuma would be fun to see flying. It's a like a death pinata of...
That would actually be a really good one for her with her ranged stuff. Yeah, to make sure that there wasn't people in her way.
For Overwatch? Yeah.
Yeah.
She's basically an invulnerable flying gun turret.
Yep. And with that, Brixby plucks a feather from his spell component pouch and tickles Asuma on the nose. Canonically, that's how you make someone fly. And they can fly for 11 minutes.
I don't think there's a flying condition here. I'll just write it next to her thingy on my super good NPC health tracker.
While you tickle her nose, Tarazi actually wants to cut this disgusting mouther open and see if it had eaten any loot and or neurocams.
Take a trophy while you're at it, please.
A strange request, but I can honor it.
So even with his better survival skill, that's still insufficient. It's just too messy.
It's just all mouths.
We gotta get in there.
Hersic says, let me show you how it's done. And he'll just real quick, I don't know what the DC even is. He rolled a 25 survival.
Pretty sure that's fine.
Yeah.
All right, put a hot point back on the board. The one that he was deducted from running away earlier. They're like big bad daddy points, but they're just daddy points.
Just specifically brimstone daddy. Points. Cut off a chain of teeth from the thing because it's mostly teeth at this point. But it does not appear to have eaten anything of particular interest. It looks like mostly rotting plant matter in there.
15 plus the CR.
All right, well then, yeah, he did make it then. 15 plus 7.
Now, by rotting plant matter, is that like it's been eating the Migo, or?
It's been eating sludge they've got kicking around.
Nice.
Sick. They've been keeping it well fed with just nonsense organic matter.
Mm-hmm. As a vegan, I totally understand this. This is also how we find sustenance. Ambient sludge. Which is also my favorite GooTube flavor right now.
Not at all to be confused with ambient sludge, which is a totally different ride.
I know, then you get up and you're just eating like 18 more GooTubes in the middle of the night.
That's how they get you. But there is only one entrance or exit from this cavern besides the way you came in, which seems to lead further on.
Well, there was the branch of the Y that we didn't go down.
Yeah.
But we don't know where that goes yet.
Oh, I meant from this specific room.
Uh-huh.
As you come through the 20 more feet of 5 foot wide hallway, just leads you out into a wider, almost circular room where the ceilings once again rise up to like 30 feet high and the water gets deeper here. And the path splits off in three directions. There's back the way you came, but there's also a narrow path leading to the north and another one leading down to the south.
What do you all think, north or south?
Can we perceive anything? Do we hear anything from one or the other way?
Yeah.
I'll roll a percept. It's a dirty 30.
And which way are you looking, north or south?
I'm closer to north, so I'll look that way.
Does sound like there are some signs of movement up there.
And then did anyone want to percept at the south side?
I roll a sick 23.
With a sick 23, it seems like there might also be movement to the south.
Uh-oh. Back to square one.
It's like there's an embarrassment of movement.
Asuma, you're a floating angel of death. What do you choose?
I don't know. It's hard to suspend disbelief when I know what's in each direction.
Fair, fair, fair.
So I'm just going to flip a coin. High means north and low means south. I got a 6 on my 6-sided coin, which is what alien coins look like. So that means north.
North it is.
All right, let's north.
Get up there, you invulnerable little, I don't know, death cloud. Running out of names for you.
The ceilings of this cavern yawn 35 feet high, with a central pillar of natural rock supporting it, like where the ground goes up and sticks out of the constant water that's everywhere. The moldy surfaces of this chamber are spattered red, and bones are scattered everywhere.
Oof. That movement that we heard, is it like closer? Do we feel like it's in this room? Do we feel like it's...
You can definitely hear some kind of low-level shifting and shuffling from the this side of the room, from this side of the room, from this side of the room. It seems like where there are big rocks, there's also kind of shuffly noises.
Suma, could you go up, take Ganda?
And Suma will say, right, one moment. And she, kind of unfamiliar with flying, is going to fly herself up near the ceiling of the room and try to get a look over the side of the closest rock to her. And she says, it's a big thing, big mouth thing. It's bad. It's very ugly. And as she's saying that and pointing it out, and obviously you're all making some noises, these large figures squeeze themselves through these tiny spaces between the rock. These 10-foot tall, monstrous shapes start squeezing through, and you see...
Oh, no, not these guys.
Just towering menaces with horrible vertically aligned mouths and arms that split in half at the elbows and end in twinned clawed hands. There's three of them squeezing out from behind the rocks as their bodies seem to compress through spaces that are much too small for them. I'm going to bed.
Everyone's faces are so worried. Oh no.
There's so many mouths in this cave.
It's a mouth heavy cave. It's real mouth forward. It's a
really mouth heavy cave.
An embarrassment of mouths.
Well, you know, it's all about that mouth feel.
Oh no. I hate that word. All right. Good night to everyone except for Sam and the word mouth feel.
Good night, Sam.
Good night, Sam.
These things think they can impress by squeezing through spaces. We're going to have a squeeze off.
Squeeze off.
The Machine is property of Network Against the Machine, LLC, all rights reserved. Pathfinder and the Iron Gods Adventure Path are property of Paizo Publishing. See their website for more details. Theme Against the Machine was written and performed by our own Zach. See the show notes for additional music and sound licensing. If you enjoy the show, we encourage you to leave us a review.
Boop. They have like the cutest dynamic. All right. We can't put that in like the, should we just put that just in the that. Bloops, but don't tell anyone what it's about so everyone thinks it's about them.
Boop. I don't feel good about my clap.
Let's do it again.
Sometimes a clap just feels bad.
My dogs get so stressed out when I clap and I have them downstairs. Junebug is like, what went wrong? Okay, babe. Boop. For whoever's editing this later, Fred Flintstone leaving work. Definitely said Fred Flintstone.
Well, that's the copyright safe version.
Yeah, true.
We won't get sued.
Because Fred himself isn't in the public domain yet.
Boop. We got to get, what is that item in 1E? Grappler's grease for, I mean, I know you're already goopy, but you could be goopier.
It could always be goopier.